Thank you very much, operator. A warm welcome to you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us for the annual result call today. 2016, an excellent year for the group, the second best year in the history of Lenzing. And if you just take a look at the key numbers based on revenue growth of 8%, we landed above 2.1 billion euro, primarily driven by a strong pricing performance. We managed to increase EBITDA by almost 50% to 428 million euros compared to 290 million euro the year before. We were particularly pleased with our return on capital employed development after 8% last year, now at above 15%. In a very favorable market, we managed to continue to implement our strategic program with great discipline ahead of the plan of delivering above 50 million euro EBITDA in the year 2017. We managed to do so already in the year 2016 out of operational improvements on the commercial side as well as on the production side. And we continued our program to specialize the portfolio of our company by committing substantial CapEx resources and also to commit CapEx resources for debottlenecking our pulp sites. Innovation, core part for the group, we decided to open new application development centers / innovation centers in Asia, one in Hong Kong, one in Indonesia, and also we successfully launched the Refibra fiber, a really new fiber to the market, a new concept. We will talk about more of that, about that in the call. As a consequence of the strong operational performance, we will propose at the annual general meeting on April 25th to increase the dividend from 2 euros to 3 euros, but also to pay out a special dividend of 1.2 euro per share. If we take a step back and look at the financial performance of the key indicators in the light of history over the last 2 years, as well as in the context of the targets that we have set, we can only conclude ahead of plan, above plan. EBITDA growth after more than 20% in the year 2015, we delivered almost 48% in the year 2016 compared to the target of 10%. ROCE, as I mentioned already before, well above the target that we have set, and Thomas will elucidate further on the strength of our balance sheet, which is close to zero on the net financial debt. So, if we just look at the set of figures, very, very pleasing. If you go a level deeper, we have said that we want to transform the Lenzing Group from a more volume-oriented company to a very strong, organic, growth-driven, specialty company. If you look at the key elements of the corporate strategy's Core 10, let's start with what we did about strengthening the core. I already mentioned before the more than 50 million EBITDA improvement that we are delivering out of commercial and operational performance ahead of plan already in the year 2016. What we don't talk a lot about, but which is a very important part of the focus that we put in the organization, is the continuous improvement journey to really strengthen and aligning the core processes that we really hum, that this is a that we work more like a clock rather than too much improvisation. Very, very strong progress in the year of 2016. What we talked a lot about already in previous call is indeed our journey towards more than 75% backward integration on the pulp side. We decided with the 100 million euro investment that we announced earlier in 2016 to debottleneck our site, and that we were very pleased with the extension of the strategic pulp supply contract with one of our core suppliers. Okay, strengthening the core. Next, we have said we need to move closer to our customers. As a consequence of the new strategy, we have reorganized our setup more into a matrix organization where we put significant decision power into the regions. We want to take decisions into regions close to where the customer is. We now have an executive committee with 8 people, 6 different nationalities, people living in the region, coming from the region, deciding for the region. We see a lot of positive momentum as a consequence of that. Second, because we want to innovate in the market for the market, we decided to open two new regional application development centers. Let me just give you one example. Muslim ware is a very interesting market for our specialty fibers. Not necessarily something that researchers who have their history in Austria particularly are knowledgeable about. Same you can take with batik shirts, with Indian saris, and so on. It's just important that we innovate in the region, and that's what we're going to do. Given the specialty strategy that we follow, we also decided we need to move closer to our customers. So rather than like what we did in the past, depend on traders and intermediaries, actually we have decided to go direct. We hired additional salespeople and opened 3 new offices, Turkey, Korea, and also our regional headquarters in Singapore. Okay, strong core, move closer to our customers. Now, specialization is absolutely the core part of the transformation journey of Lenzing. After already increasing the specialty fiber sales, to 40.5% in the year 2015, we further increased it to 42% of group sales in the year 2016. And as already mentioned before, we committed substantial capex for our expansion programs in Heiligenkreuz, Lenz in Grimsby, but also the new site in Mobile, Alabama. Now, with the specialization, innovation, R&D plays absolutely an essential element for the strategy. We have increased R&D commitments from a bit less than 30 million as per Frascati definition in the year 2015 to over 46 million in the year 2016. With that, we are on the very top end of the industry, really driving and being the front runner in innovation in our industry. We have a very exciting pipeline in terms of product, but we also make very strong progress in actually improving the processes that we deploy for making our fibers. Some of those new developments will be deployed in our plant in Mobile, Alabama. Now, Refibra was clearly one of the highlights in terms of coming with new products to the market in the year 2016. Why is it such an exciting launch for us, such an important breakthrough? Number one, and I mentioned this before, this is an industry with more than 140 billion pieces of garment every single year, and this is the first time that we can deliver a real major technological breakthrough for reintroducing cotton waste back in the production process. Very, very important step. And it's a combination, really, of a price-winning technology with a rather sophisticated supply chain, how we bring the cotton offcuts back into the raw material cycle. It's a closed loop also from a business model kind of view. Just imagine Inditex, the biggest fashion retailer in the world, also being actually now a supplier to the Lenzing Group, providing us with cotton waste. And if I just would like to draw your attention to the launch process, it just underpins the increasing relevance of the Lenzing Group in this industry. To actually have a joint launch together with the biggest retailer in the world is something absolutely exceptional. We launched the fiber at the same day Inditex brought in the flagship stores of Zara, the new joint life program, to the market. The launch went exceptionally well. Inditex is very pleased with how the launch went, and we are both looking very confident at the development of the Refibra brand. With that, I would like to hand over to Robert, who will take us through what were the major market developments in 2016. Robert, please.
Thank you very much, Stefan, and also a very warm welcome from my side. 2016 has been a good year for the fiber industry from various perspectives. Overall, the production increased by about 3.6% to 97.8 million tons. Consumption grew about 1.5% to the 99 million tons. And that means that now for the second consecutive year, overall the production grew below the consumption. So this is really a step in the right direction for this industry, where specifically the synthetic fibers still face significant overcapacities. The wood-based and the cotton production rates grew above the market level with respectively 4.3% and 8%, and I'll come back to that a little bit later in more details. If you look at a pricing chart, you see that 2016 has been a very turbulent year for the Chinese market. Now, China is and remains the most important market for the fiber industry, so this pretty much dictates how the rest of the world is doing. the visco stayed for most of the year above the cotton prices. This is very similar to the situation that we saw before the price hike in 2011. It was driven by very strong demand and very limited additional capacity increases in the market. The cotton continued to increase, as you can see, based on a much better balanced supply and demand, specifically in China. But also what you can see on this chart is that all the fibers, including polyester, saw a price increase towards the end of the year. Now, this is increasing the pressure on the value chain, as these raw materials will need to be passed on to the consumer. If we look at the cotton market in detail, the cotton is still the largest volume natural fiber in the industry, and this is a market that has really been driving all the price turbulence in the last few years, and we're very happy to see that it continues to normalize right now. The cotton prices increased by about 5.5% versus 2015. The consumption remains flat at about 24 million tonnes, and the production level is expected to increase 8%. This is in line with our expectation because it really is coming from a very low and declining level that we've seen in the last few years. So as a consequence, the inventory levels continue to decline. We expect that the inventory level will be around 18 million tons, which is one of the lowest numbers in the last few years, but still significantly above the price hike in 2011. If you look at the viscose prices, I mentioned to you already last year that I expected the viscose prices, like each year, to drop significantly towards the end of the year as the Chinese are going to deplete their inventories. I was right. In November, the prices dropped significantly, but to my pleasant surprise, the market started to stabilize, in fact, increased prices again in December, mainly driven by environmental concerns in northern China, which resulted in the additional shutdown of capacity, and this combined with a strong demand, the prices increased. So as you can see, the inventory levels continued also to decline. We went from about 17 days to a very low level, a very healthy level of 6 days. And as you can also see that in the lower chart, the capacity increase was extremely low in 2016, which is giving us the possibility, therefore, to increase the prices as we did, based on a pulp price of $918 per ton, which was about 4.3 above the 2015 level. And with that, I hand over to Thomas.
Thank you, Robert. Hello and welcome also from my side. So let me guide you through the most important financial numbers 2016. Overall, we did excellent, and the numbers are really, really good. So let me start with revenues. Revenues grew by 8%, coming from a level slightly below 2 billion and going to 2.1 billion euro. What is the reason for that? The increase is mostly driven by higher prices, but also by a better product mix, and to a smaller extent by higher volume. Looking at the quarterly revenue development, we can see constant growth there, quarter over quarter, and there again, of course, the positive trend driven by better prices and a better mix. Moving on to earnings and starting with EBITDA there, again, we see a very positive trend there. EBITDA increased significantly from 290 million to 428 million, which is an increase of almost 50%. EBITDA margin jumped from less than 15% to more than 20%. We see the same pattern, of course, at EBIT and EBIT margin. EBIT almost doubled from 150 million to close to 300 million, and EBIT margin increased from less than 8% to almost 14%. Net profit jumped by almost 100 million. From 128 million to 229, that's an increase of almost 80%, resulting in earnings per share of €8.48 compared to €4.78 in the year before. Moving on to some key figures in the balance sheet, actually starting with net debt there. Net debt is almost zero by the end of 2016. If you just look back the last and look at the development of the last years, actually, we came from a level from more than 500 million, and over the last 4 years, we basically could reduce net debt to basically zero. Equity increased significantly, of course, driven by the net profits, and equity ratio is now already at 53%, so a very, very strong balance sheet, rock solid, I would say. Looking at ROCE, capital employed actually is relatively constant on a level of 1.5, 1.6 billion euro, but the return, of course, increased significantly, coming from a negative number in 2014, going to 8% in the year before and 15.1% in the last year. Taking a look at the dividend, as already mentioned by Stefan, we are going to propose a dividend of 4.2 euro per share, consisting of 3 euro and a special dividend of 1.2 euro. This results in a dividend yield of 3.7%. Last but not least, the cash flow development, of course, they are also driven by the very strong results. Cash flow developed really, really nicely. All the cash flow categories, be it gross cash flow, operating cash flow, or free cash flow, increased significantly compared to last year. Especially operating and free cash flow were highly impacted, of course, by the positive development of our trading working capital, which we could reduce by more than 15%, coming from a level of almost 450 million and bringing it down to a level at around 380 million. So all in all, I think a very, very good result. And I think we start the fiscal year 2017 now with a rock solid balance sheet. And with that, I hand over to Stefan for the outlook.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Thank you very much, Robert. So we have a very positive market. We have developed very strong figures. But as I mentioned already in my introduction, we are in a transformation of the company from a more volume-oriented company into a more value-oriented, specialty-oriented company. And it's a transformation that goes over many years. 15, again, a bit carried by market FX. 16, we saw already very positive implications from the implementation of our strategy. And we look with a lot of confidence also in the year 2017. Why? Because we will continue to operate in a positive market environment, but we have a couple of very important steps ahead of us in terms of our strategy implementation. Number one, we will take in the year 2017 the next steps towards our target to accomplish a 75% backward integration in dissolved wood pulp. Now, some of you asked us in the past, why do you feel so strong about it? Why is it so important? Number one, in terms of capital profile, investment in dissolved wood pulp are lower in terms of capital intensity than our specialty fiber. In terms of EBITDA earnings contribution, however, it is comparable, it is similar. Secondly, it is a very important step to stabilize our earnings profile, to de-risk the business. It is both as a consequence in terms of offensive as well as in terms of defensive terms a very important step. And it offers us substantial synergies, both in terms of operations, but particularly in terms of quality when it comes to our specialty fiber development. A very important step. As already mentioned before, we will continue to boost our continuous improvement culture. We need to stay sharp. We need to stay resilient because this is a market that will also turn in terms of its fortunes on the more volume-oriented viscose side, and we will continue to transform us, but we will stay sharp when it comes to efficiency. Number two, in terms of customer intimacy, it is paramount importance that the relevance of our trademarks, of our brands at retail level, at end consumer level, will further increase. We need to create this pull throughout the chain to bring our specialty products through the chain to the consumer, and as a consequence, we will further professionalize and increase the efficiency of our brand architecture. The move closer and more directly to the consumer and to the customer will continue. We will continue to make us more independent of intermediaries and go direct. In terms of specialization, we have made the decision with respect to our U.S. operations for Tencel that we will invest in Mobile, Alabama for 90 kilotons. And in the year of 2017, we will make the decision where the next site after that will be built, and that will be in Asia. Now, you know my excitement and my pride in terms of our innovation and R&D pipeline. to create a certain sizzle, we will come with two new exciting launches in the year 2017, one in Q2 and one in Q3. More to come in that respect when we are ready with the details. Now, looking then at what 2017 in terms of outlook has to offer, wood-based cellulosic fibers will continue to be an attractive market in 2017. Some of the new capacities that will come into play will be more in 2018. So 2017, we still look very positively at the market. Cotton polyester, as already mentioned by Robert, has seen some increase that in part helps us on the one hand in terms of interfiber competition, however, also puts some pressure in the value chain. Now, we are very well positioned with our strategy in this market, and we will see continued strong demand for our specialty fibers. Now, under the assumption of unchanged fiber market conditions, and if X pretty much stays where it is today, we will see a considerable result improvement in the fiscal year 2017 compared to 2016. So, good set of numbers 2016, confidence for 2017, and with that, I would like to open the floor for questions. Operator, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we'll begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. Please limit yourself to two questions only so that everyone has a chance to ask a question. Should there be time, we can start a second Q&A session. The first question comes from the line of Matthias Pfeifenberger of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, Jens. Congrats to outstanding results. Two questions from my side. Firstly, on slide number 13, you show the VSF capacity increases, and it seems like a 7-8% increase you expect for in 2017. Maybe you can elaborate a bit what this is. I mean, where's the Intel coming from? And also to what Robert has said, that there have been quite some shutdowns leading to the renewed price momentum post-Chinese New Year. Are you seeing more mills that would be affected by heavier environmental regulation? And is there a chance that this 7-8% goes away? And then related to that, you expect more capacity in 2018. Can you give us a number? Is it going to be like up 15% if it's up 7-8 in 2017? And my next question is really on the investments. Congrats also to a very strong net debt performance, really impressive. You seem to have decided upon China. So two small questions related to that. Is the pulp mill, the brownfield or greenfield, independent from the new tensor plant, because it's separate bullets here on the slide? And also, can you maybe shed some light on timing and what the total capex would be in terms of greenfield, brownfield, pulp mill plus another tensor site? Thanks a lot.
Okay. Mr. Pfeifenberger, maybe in two questions, maybe I ask Robert first to take some the question on the market, and I will then elucidate on the pulp side.
Yeah, thank you, Matthias. Regarding the capacity increases, well, everybody that follows the industry knows that there are a few big capacity increases announced in China. We follow them, of course, very carefully. We don't comment on specific competitive activities. But overall, the market expects further increases. Now, when you're talking about the environmental pressure, there are two fundamental differences. Number one, indeed, is the overall industry pressure from the Chinese government. This will force Chinese competitors to invest in technologies, and we do not know if everybody can afford to do this or if they would even get permissions to do this. So we do expect some smaller capacities to go out. However, also what you've seen in the end of 2016, so in December, even though certain sites might meet the environmental standards, due to very specific environmental concerns, the capacity might be taken out temporarily. This capacity is now back up to speed, and we see at this moment a little bit of a normalized market. But yes, there will be new capacity. that is expected. We also expect some smaller capacity to take out, but there will be a net capacity increase for the cellulose fibers.
So this is more a maintenance shutdown in order to do investments required to meet the environmental standards than permanent shutdowns. So it means that all the existing mills will, I don't know, given the pricing, given the higher fiber price, they will remain in place, and then the new ones, Cetera and the likes, they will obviously meet the requirements, I guess.
There will be new capacity coming up to speed. That is for sure. So there will be a net gain in capacity for the viscose fibers. But there will also some smaller players we expect to go out, but the net balance is an increase in capacity.
Okay.
Now, I think just to add on that, we will see capacity increase substantially. You also, I think, followed some of the bigger announcements of companies like Satri and so on. However, I think it is something, please put in the context, this is a growth market.
Yeah.
Now, with respect to pulp, we have not said that we either will do greenfield nor brownfield, nor whether we do it in a strategic cooperation. I stress this, it's a big decision for the group, and there are different ways to actually get to the finishing line. That's one. But we will make this decision in the course of 2017. Now, we will not comment at this stage for what is the exact CapEx announcement, CapEx dimension. I think that is something that is, I think, reasonably available also in the public from other investments. What I would like to say is we would like to have the pulp mill close to one of our fiber lines, but it's not, in the end, a conditio sine qua non. It is more important that we have an excellent cost position with respect to wood if we make this step, and that from a logistic point of view, we feel that in terms of trade barriers and so on, we are in the right spot.
Okay, can I just add to that the 75% achieving that does not include an extension of the SAPI contract, right?
If you just take the SAPI contract as it is today, it would not count towards that.
Okay, but if you extend it, then it could still be part of this increase to the 75%. So the question is more, are you sure you want to buy and extend or build the pulp mill, or is it not decided yet?
It is not decided that we would build. However, in our definition of what counts towards the 75%, a pure merchant market deal is not part of that.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Next question comes from line of Stefan Trubrich of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my questions. Firstly, I would be interested in the developments in Q4 on the trading side. I mean, looking at the Q4 revenue, you showed an increase compared to Q3. However, the EBITDA dropped sequentially from 125 million to 108 million. I mean, also looking at the slide pack, you show that the cost of materials in Q4 go up. I mean, could you explain to us what has been going on here? Was it just you produced some volumes, but you refrained from selling them in Q4 as prices has come down? So an update would be appreciated on this front. And second question would be on your strategic long-term targets. You showed that on EBITDA growth and ROCE, you are well ahead of your long-term targets. Are you considering revising them anytime soon? Because it obviously you are far ahead of that. So if you could also update us on that front. Thank you.
Okay. Let me take maybe your second question first, Mr. Trubrich, and then I hand over to Thomas. You're correct on our strategic targets. We will be revisiting those targets in the course of this year, and then I think we'll see how we deal with that. But it's for us also clear that this is something where we need to have another look at that, and we will continue to do that towards the end of this year.
And coming to your first question, actually, on the Q4 EBITDA development, of course, your observation is correct. Overall, I would say that we took a quite conservative approach when we finalize the year-end numbers. Just to mention a couple of items, actually one is, of course, CapEx, OpEx. There, of course, I think we have been quite conservative. The other thing I would like to highlight is we had a very thorough look at the valuation of our spare parts. And last but not least, of course, there were some accruals where I again would say we took a very conservative view. And this is, of course, accordingly reflected now in the financial statements.
Okay, and just a quick follow-up. So assuming that you wouldn't have been that conservative, the Q4 EBITDA would have been broadly in line with the third quarter EBITDA, right?
I would shy away now from giving you a specific number, and I would leave that to you anyway. If you just do a comparison of capitalized costs quarter over quarter, and of course if you do that year over year, you would probably miss quite some amount, especially in Q4 now. What I said before on the evaluation of spare parts, actually anyway, it immediately pops up when you take a look at the cost of materials and supplies as a percentage of revenues.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
Next question comes from line of Laura Lopez-Pineda of Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my questions. So first, you talked about a higher capacity utilization for Lansing. Can we maybe give an estimate? Is it higher than 95%? And do you expect this to continue also in 2017, despite the capacities that are coming? And secondly, can we expect the capex for the new Tencel plant in China to be booked after the plant of the U.S. is ready, so in 2019, or would that be booked before that? And yeah, that's. And secondly, maybe a little bit more information about the new products that you will launch this year in Q2 and Q3. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Lopez-Pineda. One, with respect to our capacity utilization, we are running pretty much flat out, if I would describe it casually, and it will continue in the year 2017, so we will not see a change there. The one thing I would like to really make a point on, we did not say that we would invest in China. We did not say that. It is something where we only say the next plant will be in Asia. And in terms of timing, what we have said is that we believe if we would come every sort of 2 years with a new site around the volume that we will build in the U.S., that sounds for us about right, give or take half a year. So that is in terms of timing pretty much what you should take into consideration. Now, I have to disappoint with respect to insights into the new innovations. The only thing that I would say, they are very meaningful for the group. So this is not just a variation of a new product, but the rest I would leave almost like in the Apple Steve Jobs kind of way. We need to keep the excitement going, but then we will come with it when we have something to talk about.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from line of Bernd Maurer of RCB. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Two questions remaining for me. First, I want to come back to your announcement for the construction of an additional Tencel plant in Asia. Can we expect here about the same capacity you have installed at Lansing and you plan to install in Mobile in the USA as announced last year, speaking of some 80, 90, perhaps 100,000 tons, or do you have other plans for the capacity for the plant in Asia? And question number two refers to pricing. Can you share some insights about your pricing at the start of the year? Were you able to implement some additional price hikes, or do you feel on the other side that, as you mentioned before, the end of the value chain feels price pressure and it becomes tougher for you on pricing, that you have to work with discounts and so on? So some thoughts here would be appreciated.
Okay, let me Ms. Maul, I will address the capacity part, Asia, and then I will hand over to Robert on the pricing side. With respect to Asia capacity, we have not fixed the capacity, but I think if to take as a working hypothesis that what we are doing in Mobile, Alabama with 90 kilotons, that is not a bad working hypothesis. Mm-hmm. Whether we're going to do the same or whether we make some variation, that is something that we are still going to announce and what we are still working on. But I think to give or take, you know, 90 plus minus kilotons, it's about the right amount. Robert, with respect to pricing.
With respect to pricing, yes, indeed. If you follow the market prices in China, you've seen that the prices came back earlier than expected, as I mentioned earlier, already in December. They were also strong in January and, as expected, strong after the Chinese New Year, as inventory levels, not only for our competitors, but also for the downstream customers, the spinners were extremely low. So we've seen strong prices in the viscose market. We are at or above the prices with our viscose offering, so you'll see a similar price trend for us. Now, the last few days, this is changing. Inventories have been adjusted. So from that perspective, I think this price hike situation after Chinese New Year is normalizing a little bit. We do have to, however, consider that for our specialty fibers, we have a long-term price strategy, so we have not seen and we will not drive the same kind of price momentum as you have for the viscose prices. Strong demand definitely has resulted also in increases for our specialty products, but here we're really taking a long-term view, both for Modal and Tencel in specialty programs. But overall, we have a positive pricing trend.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next question comes from the line of Sebastian Bray of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my questions. I have two sets, well, two which really focus, number one, on the pricing environment for specialties, and number two, on some financial guidance on your CapEx and your working capital. Just on the topic of specialty fibers, given that you've talked, I think, about in the past about uncoupling the pricing from the commodity viscose development. If viscose prices remain strong, is there a short-term risk at least of getting premium compression on these products in the sense that you've uncoupled the prices but the viscose prices rise faster than the specialties? And secondly, on financial guidance, it's actually in two parts. Firstly, on the level of working capital, should we think about modeling around 17% of sales going forward? Are you happy with the level now? And in addition to that, on your commercial excellence program, I think you mentioned there was some mention of being ahead of the Euro 50 million targeted run rate, which was achieved at the end of 2016. Could you perhaps give some guidance of how much more there is to come from this plan, if any? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Number one, in terms of compression, indeed, this can happen. If viscose prices jump up dramatically, we will not at the same time make the same thing on Modal or Tencel or specialty viscose. We will not do that. Because, as just Robert mentioned before, we follow their more long-term approach. The same if I just now take Q4 of last year or Q4 of 2015, when viscose prices fell, we continued either keep stable or increase our specialty fiber. So indeed, you can have, at fast-rising viscose prices, you can have a smaller delta in terms of premium, which is perfectly okay for us. In terms of financials, maybe Thomas?
On the trading working capital as a percentage of revenues, I mean, we reached, I would say, a low point with 17%. I would not expect any further decreases. Actually, I would rather maybe expect even a minor increase. The background for that, actually, as you all know from our financial report, in the past couple of years, actually, we did some factoring, roughly always in the amount of 70 to 80 million euros. Looking at the liquidity we have in our balance sheet, this doesn't make too much sense at this point in time, and we might discontinue at least a portion of that, at least temporarily.
In terms of commercial excellence, maybe Robert, from your side still, how do you look at the further improvement potential?
the key element of the commercial excellence has been how can we improve our pricing ability over pulp, specifically, of course, with our specialty products. And, you know, as Stefan mentioned, we have exceeded our target. We have a very solid pricing process right now, which really balances the various end users and the regions for each of our products. So overall, we will be able to perform at the level we expected, which is, as Stefan also underlined earlier, much more aggressive pricing on the viscose depending on the market trends, but very clear long-term pricing on specialty products.
Thank you. Would you mind if I ask one quick follow-up on your new product launch, the Verit Fiber that you mentioned, and in particular the implications both for your financials and your capacity? I think this is a type of lyocell. Does this affect at all the amount? Does this basically come from existing Lenzing capacity, or is it an additional amount? And could you perhaps talk about any, if possible, the expected market size or eventual financial uplift that you would expect from this new product? Thank you.
Number one is we make Refibra in our existing assets. It has no negative impact on our output, but also doesn't have a positive impact in terms of output. That's one. In terms of financial implication, we don't give any guidance on individual products, but let me say that this is a product, we talk about it because it will have a meaningful implication for the whole group, however, not on the very short term. This is something that is a concept both in terms of market but also consumer mindset that needs development. However, it has a fundamentally strong potential for us as a group.
Oh, that's helpful. And sorry, I'm probably outstaying my welcome, but I'll try a last cheeky one. CapEx, I think consensus is looking for around 300 million euro. Is this about reasonable for 2017 in your view?
I would say from today's point of view, 300 is probably too high. I would rather expect CapEx to be around 200 million.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Paul de Thierry of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yeah, morning, Stefan, Robert and Thomas. Congratulations on the good set of numbers, especially on the free cash flow. Statistics, really, really encouraging. I've got two strategic questions. It's my belief, and if you can confirm that, I'd be grateful, that if you can control the quality of your dissolved wood pulp, then you can control the quality of your fiber. If that is true, would not a greenfield pulp investment probably be the best way forward? And if so, would a strategic collaboration potentially with the largest producer of DWP globally not make sense given how cash rich I imagine Sappi is, and also they have the technological expertise in terms of plant build and production? My second question relates to your viscose capacity. Would you consider in the future a potential hiving out of your viscose, your commodity viscose production, into a joint venture, thereby freeing up cash in order to reinvest to get yourselves towards your score 10 targets? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Paul. Indeed, I think those are two questions we could probably discuss several hours about it. Let me try to give, you know, concise answers to, I think, the limit of what we can talk about. Number one, you're right, if we control the quality of dissolved wood pulp, it helps us controlling the quality of fiber. But it is not, there is no way sort of to be in control with, you know, your fiber quality if you do not have it. But it allows you to come up with very specific variations. In terms of, is it then best to go greenfield? Not necessarily. It's not that brownfield doesn't make sense. Just think about our Paskov acquisition, subsequent conversion of a paper pulp site into dissolved wood pulp site was a very, very strategic, very attractive also from a financial point of view move for the group, and it's not something that I would exclude, that would again make sense maybe in a different geographic hemisphere. The disadvantage of greenfield, you go with one big investment in one go. Brownfield, maybe you don't have the, you know, equally strong impact on operational performance, however, it is a little bit less on CapEx. I think any strategic cooperation, please forgive me, Paul, that's not something that I will comment. I think SAPI has its strategy. They're a very important partner for us. We have our strategy. We are very happy with the way we actually cooperate. With respect to viscose capacity, viscose, it is not our prime focus for investment. However, it's a very strategic part of our business. It is in part just important to have the breadth of exposure to the market, and viscose plays an important role there. Secondly, it is an important part of bringing our dissolved wood pulp strengths into the market. So as a consequence, kind of vehicle also for the dissolved wood pulp. So in essence, no, we are not strategically looking at carving out our viscose business. Otherwise, we would have mentioned this already as part of our Score 10 strategy.
Okay. Can I just have a sort of quick follow-up question with Robert, just on the specialty fibres? Forgive me if this is going over old ground, but can you update us, please, on the conversations that you're having with major clothing retail manufacturers, either in, well, clothing retail manufacturers and fashion houses, but also perhaps on the non-woven side, maybe with other potential customers? And secondly, if and when the viscose price does fall and the cotton price does fall, what is your sense in terms of being able to maintain the price of your specialty fibers in a falling commodity viscose and cotton market?
Yeah, thank you, Paul. I think there's been a significant shift that we are making towards to go from a real B2B company to a B2B2C aspiration company. You also heard Stefan saying in the outlook that we are investing significantly in our brand architecture. The industry, as was mentioned with the Refriba section, the industry is facing quite some challenges. You've got 140 billion plus garments produced each year. There are very limited natural resources that are needed to produce these garments. So the brands and the retailers, they are looking for solutions. And the discussions we are currently having with the brands and the retailers is that we as Lenzing can help them to bring these solutions with our regular fibers, as well as with very unique innovations like Refibra. So by having these kind of discussions, we are securing programs now and for the future, which should make us less dependent on any volatility in the viscose prices, which are much more going into commodity applications, such as also some of the polyviscose blends that you see quite regularly in the market. So with the new brand architecture, with very special sales and marketing channels that we're setting up and that we're strengthening right now in the future, an example, as Stefan shared with Inditex, will make our company more robust longer term, will allow us to create a brand that is trusted by the consumers as a differentiator from a responsibility perspective for the whole industry.
Okay, thank you.
The last question comes from the line of Stefan Tubrich of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Two questions. One follow-up would be on the CapEx. You mentioned that it's rather 200 million in 2017 instead of the 300. So is there then a spillover into 2018 that it's then more than the 300, because their consensus is currently sitting at? And the other question would be, I read a recent Canopy study that mentioned Lenzing specifically for its outstanding compliance when it comes to wood sourcing, and it shows that most of your peers are way behind you when it comes to the sustainability of the raw material sourcing, and the fashion industry is particularly focused on that going forward. Do you think that this will also have major repercussions on, let's say, future capacity expansions in Asia, particularly if the raw material supply is not sustainable. So if you could update us on that front, that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Okay. Very quickly on the second question, to cut the long, you know, answer short, we will not do any major investment without with potentially jeopardizing our fantastic profile on the sustainability side. It's a conditio sine qua non. We will not do anything differently. We believe this is the way the industry is going. We are excellently positioned to play this card, what Robert mentioned already before. In our discussion with the brands, sustainability plays an increasingly important role, and we are there to bang on this trend. Maybe on the CapEx side?
On the CapEx, actually, also to cut a long story short, yes, there will be a spillover into 2018.
So the CapEx is then in 2018, 350, or?
And of course, in the there will be a spillover based on the projects that have already been approved. We have a couple of more projects actually in the pipeline where we will ask for approval, and depending on what and when we get the approvals, this will of course then have an impact on our 2018 CapEx number.
Okay, but if we keep now 18 at 300 million, you think that would be a fair assumption?
I think this is a fair assumption for the time being based on the projects that have already been announced.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
There are no further questions at this time. I would like to hand back to Stefan Dubowski for any closing comments.
Thank you very much, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for attending the call. 2016 was a good year. We look with confidence at the year 2017, and we are looking forward to, again, have you on the line in May when we will share with you the Q1 results. Thank you very much, and with that, we close the call.